We're up to the final Mishnah in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. Ben Bagbag Omer. It's not clear who Ben Bagbag was. You'll notice that Ben Bagbag is the author of this Mishnah. And the author of the next Mishnah is Ben Hey Hey. Bag Beis Gimel is the numeric value of Hey. And some say that they're one and the same, and they're both. Some say, oh, yeah. There's one chat that says it was a Ger Tzedek. Others say it was someone who had to hide from the Romans, so they hid his name. So Ben Bagbag says, Hafochba Vahafochba. By the way, you know why it was a Ger? Why is Ben Bagbag a Ger? Because he's Ben Avram Avinu, and Avram had a Hey added to his name, from Avram to Avraham. So this was a code. Now this also matches with the idea that it was during Roman time, because a person could get killed for converting. I don't know because the Talmud says that during the Roman time you had thousands of Romans converting after the destruction of the temple. It says there was a great influx. It's interesting because today we also have a lot of Germans that convert. Okay, I don't know. Ben Bagbag Omer. So Ben Bagbag says Hafochba Vafochba Dekula ba. Keep turning over the Torah. Turn it over in your mind. Analyze it from this angle, from that angle. Dekula ba. Because everything's in the Torah. You just got to know how to analyze it. If you look at it correctly, you'll find the answers to all your questions. You just got to keep turning it over and over in your mind. Looking at it from different angles. Uva techezeh. And it's at the Torah that you should look. If you're looking for truth, look through the Torah and you'll have a true perspective in life. Vesiv uvlava, and grow old, and you should wear yourself as you age through the Torah. A person shouldn't think, I came to Machon Meir, I did my time, that's it, on with life. No, this is something that should be a constant. It should be our perspective in life. Umina lo tazua. Don't shift away from the Torah. It's got to be a part of life every day, every moment. She'en lecha midah tova imena. Believe me, you got nothing better to look for in life. You have the best. So the simple reading of the Mishnah gives us a simple understanding of the Torah. It's true. There are many applications of this to practical life. It's interesting that the wording dekulaba easily brings to mind the idea that a person's wife is called a kala. And it says, if I'm not mistaken, in Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, in his commentary, that the word kala represents the idea of kol ba. Everything you look for in life is in her. And our sages really say that a person's blessing in life comes through his wife. Hafoch ba vahafoch ba. Keep looking at the Torah from different angles, dekulaba, you'll find everything in it. Well, the same is true in married life. It's the basis for all of life. We have to look at it from different angles. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective. It's very easy to look at our spouse and say, boy, did I get a lemon. Boy, did I get a defective product. This one came off the assembly line with serious problems. Serious problems emotionally, intellectually, intelligently. Believe me, the more you know a person, the more you know their weak spots. Hafochma. It's like the Torah, you got to turn it. You notice when you come to the store, they always put the nice side of the fruit up. It shocks me sometimes how dirty my hands can get picking up a fruit to look at the other side. You pick it up and suddenly your fingers sink into the fruit. You realize the bottom is completely rotten. Right? But on the top side, it was very nice. I can't remember the last time I picked up fruit in the store. You know, you pick up the fruit you want to buy, and I didn't get my hands dirty with rotten fruit on the bottom side. But you can still have the perspective. You can look the side that's good. I got bad news for you. Same is true of each of us. If you pick us up on the wrong side, we all have a rotten side. We all have parts of ourselves that we're not so proud of. Parts that we know need improvement, but aren't getting any, right? We'd like to be improving, but we have our weaknesses, and sometimes they're weaknesses that we've We sort of think we're going to go to the grave with those weaknesses. We'd like to think we'll improve on them. We should improve on them. But so far we haven't. This past Elul, one of the classes I mentioned that those of us who have gone through a few years Rosh Hashanah suddenly find ourselves with the same New Year's resolutions we had last year and the year before. We look at the same challenges and we say, wait a second, I didn't make a dent last year. I didn't make a dent the year before. So who am I kidding this year? What am I supposed to do now? Right? So in that class, we discussed what you are supposed to do. And we discussed making small, incremental, realistic expectations of ourselves. And we discussed that that's far more effective. But that's not our class here tonight. Our point here is perspective. In every marriage, a person can look at their spouse and say, boy, did I lose out. Boy, did I marry a loser. Doesn't matter who you married. David HaMelech had a wife who let him know what she thought of him. The Navi tells us. She tells him, how respectable. Here you are, revealing yourself in front of all the servants. Right? His own wife mocks him in front of everyone. You know, she didn't just say it in the bedroom. She walked out in front of everyone and let him know what she thought of him. Okay, that happens. Is it the worst marriage in the world? No. It's a good marriage.
Didn't he never take her to bed again for that?
No.
Never had a daughter? No.
It says in the conclusion of that story, Ul Michal bat Shaul lo haya la ya valid. It says it's preexiv yaled ad yom mota, till the day she died. Our tradition is that she died during childbirth. Our tradition is that he did take her to bed, but God held it against her. And as such, she wouldn't have children until the day she died. And on the day she died, she had a child, she died during childbirth. That's why the verse says, Ad Yomota. Okay?
Awesome.
Say that. The Gemara asked your question. The Gemara didn't assume they weren't intimate. The Gemara assumed, but the Gemara says, hey, wait a second, how come we find she had children? The Vriya Yomim. The Gemara says, Ad Yomota, but Be Yomota, yes. Yes?
So the person, like, you know, the household, there is some kind of argument like that in the household, so the person should pray extra hard that God should also completely forgive the spouse, and also that God should not hold it against them as well.
For sure, I think spouses should ask one another for forgiveness, and spouses should be forgiving. Why not? We make bnei zuk. We make mistakes. The Tanakh is filled with mistakes.
So then they didn't wait a minute. Like, not only did you know, but I'm the king, and so then for the said that the extra maybe God, maybe I forgive her, but God is still.
For sure. For sure. Why not? For sure. We have to pray for one another, we have to forgive one another, and we have to realize that if we hurt one another, we not only hurt our spouse, any sin, bin adam nachavero, between man and his fellow man, is also a sin towards heaven, yes. And that involves tshuva towards heaven as well, yes. Yeah. Isn't it tough? Yeah. God is part of our marriage. It's not enough that you gained her forgiveness, you have to gain God's forgiveness. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah. But tell you what, I find that if in Slach Lanu, if in my prayer, I can ask God for forgiveness for things I've done wrong, then I'm more apt to take control of myself and not do them again.
Take control of yourself?
Not do it again. Very often, part of the reason we repeat our mistakes is because we never spoke out and said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done what I did, and I'm not going to do it again. It's important to say I'm sorry. It affects us. It's not only to relieve our conscience, it's to help us change. It's a very, very important thing to do, yeah. But it's also important to be able to turn and look and see that everything in life comes from that partner of mine, and nothing. I wouldn't have anything without it. And we're very tempted to prove our independence. I need you, I don't need you. I can manage just fine without you. That's the worst thing in the world, you could say. The person has to express to himself and the other person and repeatedly point out, no, I wouldn't have a world without you. No, there's nothing else. Kulaba, like the word kala, everything, she's everything. But if I look at this and that, she's not perfect, right? But she's still everything. A person has to develop that attitude. It doesn't come naturally. Uvatechezei. So if we make a play on words, there's a very nice piece of advice that's often offered. Keep in your wallet a picture of your spouse as a little child. When she was younger and cute as a little girl, if you're upset at her and you see a cute picture of her as a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 7-year-old, pigtails, whatever it is, so suddenly you get a different perspective. Besivuv lavan. If we, again, take this as a play on words, so one of the weaknesses us men have is that we tend to enter marriage with the thought, worst comes to worst, there's always an out. And that's the worst attitude we can have. Vesivuv lavad, just like when it comes to Torah, we say our goal should be to grow old with the Torah. Our goal in the relationship should be very clearly to grow old together. To be together till 120, that should be our perspective. I'll give you an interesting analogy. When we were interviewed with the community in Kochav Yaakov, so one of the questions they asked us was, we're a small community, they said. And very often rabbis will come to a community for 3 years, for 5 years, and it's a springboard. From there, they can go to a larger community. Is that your perspective? They're very straight. So I tried to be straight. I said, no. If we choose to come here, we want to be here at least 20 years. We want to be here long term. You build a relationship, you should try to build long term relationships in life. Modern society is against that. They say you expect that you'll switch many jobs in your lifetime. They say in this century, it's going to be rare that people can maintain the whole job throughout their lives. But you have to maintain the same wife. You have to strive for that. This is a relationship that's long-term. Vesivuv lava, to grow old together. Umina lo tazua, you never shift from that. Shen lecha midat tova imenu, there ain't anything better in the world. The Rabban Shalom compared the Torah to one's wife. Meaning there was no better analogy. There was nothing in the world that could represent wholeness and good as well as a wife, as well as a spouse. Now, the average guy will tell me he was talking about someone else's wife, not mine. Sure, I can imagine that a wife will be that great. I can imagine it. No, it doesn't work that way. It's something we have to build together. On autopilot, marriage explodes. Left to its own nature, marriage does not work. Marriage is something that requires a tremendous amount of work by its own nature. Men are different, women are different. We don't have patience for one another. We don't understand one another. We spend marriage looking at one another like, what does she want from my life? And she looks at him and says, what does he want from my life? And why can't she be happy? And why can't he be happy? And why can't he just do things my way? But why can't she just do things my way? Wait a second, is it such a big deal? So I cleaned the floor, but I didn't do it your way. Yeah, it is such a big deal. No, so I booted the computer, so I didn't do it your way. Yeah, it is such a big deal. So you'll stand there and explain a frustration. If you pull out the USB cable and you didn't click that little thing and tell it you're pulling out the USB, you could jar the system, and in the long run, you have all these little bits walking around there that are on, they don't know where to go, and then you end up having a computer that works slow and doesn't work, and you try to explain it in her language, and she looks at you and says, I hear you, and does the very same thing the next time. So you get frustrated and say, didn't I tell you? And she says, yeah, but didn't I tell you to cut vegetables that way and to stack the dishes this way? Didn't I ask you to do that? Well, very good. Look at us. We look like a bunch of 3-year-olds. You look at the average marriage from the outside. I tell couples, you know, you could summarize marriage with, no, I didn't, yes, I did. No, I didn't, yes, I did. Yeah, because that's where marriage ends up. What difference does it make? You have to fight about how you're going to boot the computer, so you'll have to buy a new computer. I understand. So I'll stack the dishes the wrong way, and it'll be frustrating. So what? But yes, we make squabbles over everything. But it goes both ways. Imagine you washed the floor, you went and stood in line for an hour and a half, and you got the groceries, and you come home, and she looks at you and says, but I told you to get the other detergent. And you look at her and say, but I got everything else. And the detergent, I got confused. I thought this one's better. And she says, yeah, I told you last time that one doesn't work with our machine. So you look at her and she looks at you and she's frustrated with you and you're frustrated with her. But wait a second. Where does the cycle stop? So if I were talking to a class of women, I'd tell them by you. And if I'm talking to a class of men, then the answer is by you. Meaning every one of us can stop the cycle. There's no reason marriage has to continue this way. But if I'm going to be focused on I'm right, wait a second, just do it my way. Oh, sure, then we can keep going. And that's how it does keep going. And it escalates and people are frustrated. That's the nature. We have to stop the cycle. How do we stop the cycle? Hafoch ba vafoch ba. Stop. What are you looking at? Turn the other way. Look at the other aspects of this person. Imagine you walk home and your wife says, why'd you buy that detergent? And you'll say, you know, you're the most amazing mother. And she'll look at you and say, stop changing the topic. And you'll say, you know, you're always on the ball. And she'll say, you know, this isn't going to win you anything. We agreed you'd buy the other detergent. Why did you buy this one? And you'll say, you know, I'm so happy you stick to the point. You're never willing to, you know, what would happen? And she'll say, don't change the subject. And you'll say, I'm not. I'm on the subject. I'm just looking at how beautiful and how wonderful you are. Okay, so maybe that's a little humorous, but the truth is we have a choice. And at every point, we can be the one to make the marriage work. I always say it takes one to tango. Takes one. It takes one person to be dedicated to marriage to make it work. It doesn't take two. Ah, you'll say, wait a second, I'm the loser. I have to put up with all that. No, you're the winner. You're the winner, and yes, so you'll get the Shemayim, and they'll tell you, thanks to you, it worked. Right, there are times in a relationship where you're the one lugging all the weight, and sometimes you'll feel like you're doing it alone all the time. And guess what? Most of your life, you'll feel that way. It's the way it is. And you know why it's so? It's because us men are good for nothing. We don't know how to appreciate what we have. We know how to look at what we don't have. It starts with Adam. Adam looks at his wife and says to God, "Ha'isha shenatata imadi, that woman you placed with me, she brought me into all this trouble." Wait, but he said the truth before she was on board. Everything was fine. There were no problems till she came to the scene. Is it the truth? Is that truth or perspective? It's a choice. So afterwards, he looks at her and says, she's the source of all of life. Wait, she was the source of all of life beforehand too. Right, but then he chose to focus on something else. But it's true. Truth has nothing to do with it. If I'm going to try to work a marriage based on truth, so truth is that men and women, man plus woman equals misery. Want to talk about truth? That's truth. We're built differently. If I'm willing to work with chesed, with kindness, with love, with acceptance of the other person, even though they're not right, they're not right. Eve caused Adam to sin. True. But truth is not what builds marriage. You have to be willing to go beyond the truth, to say I'm accepting, even though, yeah, the other party's wrong. So I'll accept it and I'll smile and I'll work with it. It's not fair. What does fair have to do with it? It's good. You want to build something good, you have to be accepting. And again, every man will tell you he's putting up with a ton of garbage. Every man will tell you. Ask any man who's willing to be honest with you, he'll tell you. You know, I had a friend who used to tell me, I warn all bachelors, don't get into this. Believe me, it's like fly paper. Everyone hears the warning. Every fly sees the other one stuck on the paper, and yet they all go and get stuck after them. And he'd stand there trying to convince me, don't get married. I'm telling you, I'm married. Believe me, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. It's not that way. If I'm going to try to work with fair and honest and all these beautiful words, then yeah, it can be that way. But if I'm willing to work with giving and understanding and being a giving person, even though in the name of fairness I shouldn't give this much, then I'll get somewhere. And remember, we as men will always overlook all the good and blessing that a woman brings into our lives. That's our nature. It takes tremendous work to really see that good and blessing. Try to look this way, try to look that way. If you look this way and that way, eventually you'll start realizing that anything good in your life came from that relationship. And then you look at life through that. That's the prism through which you look at life. Now, how do you get there? So part of it is faking it. Part of it is speaking it out. The more you say your appreciation, the more you'll come to appreciate. The more you say it, the more you show it, the more you yourself will feel it. If you go through life and you don't say it, suddenly it doesn't exist. Wait a second, who did the laundry? Who hung up the, who folded, who put it away, who did the cooking, who did the cleaning, who did the shopping. There are a million things which we can take for granted. You walk on the floor, you don't think that someone cleaned it. You go to the fridge, you don't think someone bought that. What would happen if every time you took something out of the fridge, you tell your spouse, thank you so much for buying this. I appreciate it. I know it wasn't easy bringing it up the steps, bringing it in the barn, putting it away. If every time you did something small, you come and you see the kids in pajamas and you say, thank you for putting the kids in pajamas. But you take it for granted. A diaper has changed. Do you stop and say, thank you? I often say, I try to do every diaper on Shabbos. Because I don't do diapers during the week. I'm here with you guys. Who changed the diapers tonight? It wasn't me. I was here. Who's going to change the diapers in the morning? It won't be me. I'm not going to be there. So then if once a week, you know, so Friday, Shabbos, I could do a little bit of diaper. So then I'll try to work on myself to have a little bit of appreciation for what's happening all the time. I'm not there. Because our nature is we don't have appreciation. Everything goes on autopilot. Whatever happens when I don't see it, so of course it's on autopilot. We were once at a Shaar Sudis. A few guys and our wives. It was a Sheva Brachs or something. And it was at the end. And we had to go daven Ma'ariv. So one of the guys said to the rest of us in front of all the wives, he said, we should go to the minyan that's all the way down the block in Davin's Rabbeinu Tam. So we all looked at him and said, why? He said, because miracles happen. We said, what do you mean? He said, look, if we take a long walk down this long block and get to that minyan that Davin's very late, there'll be a greater miracle than if we make a minyan down in the lobby. We said, what do you mean? He said, if we go down to the lobby and come up, then when we come back up, half the table will be clear, half the stuff will be put away, it'll be half a miracle. If we walk down all the way to that minyan down there, come all the way back, take a good 45 minutes to daven, you'll see such a prayer develops a beautiful miracle. We'll come back, the house will be spotless, everything will be clean. Miracles happen when you daven that way. Right, miracles, so we can live life looking at miracles. You know, he said it in front of his wife on purpose. He was trying to be funny about saying, you know, I know it's not a miracle. Someone's actually working here to make it happen.
What was her reaction?
Her reaction was, you better daven hard because I don't plan on making any miracles. But the truth is, that's how we go through life. You know, it all happens. The out of sight, out of mind. But if we express the appreciation, we will train ourselves to start seeing the blessing that's really there all along. Again, we have to work on it. Our nature as men is that we don't see it. Lat lat, we can develop our nature to see it. A point to the women viewers, if I were talking to you, I'd say the same thing.